Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here in the Summer School of Truth.
Amen.
It's good to be here for the best 10 days of my life.
Amen.
I think that's really true.
Amen.
Especially when we're together this long. Last year was quite sovereign, so we're here for the best 10 days. Okay, how about let's just start by praying with your neighbor for just 30 or 40 seconds. Let's pray for these 10 days. Let's pray for this beginning this morning, that the Lord would open our hearts to His Word. The degree to which you will gain the Lord and the amount of how much change in your life for these 10 days depends on your heart. Depends on how open are you in your heart. Depends on how much of a heart you have for the Lord. The Lord can pour out, but if my heart is closed, I don't receive anything. So we need to pray for our heart, that we would have an open heart, a pure heart, a soft heart, a willing heart, willing to receive the Lord's Word. So let's just pray with our neighbor for 30 or 40 seconds for this. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, willing heart.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Be over this whole meeting.
Yes. Amen.
Over every soul.
Yes.
Every heart.
Amen.
Be open to you.
Hallelujah.
Open to your word.
Amen.
Oh, shine forth, Lord.
Right.
Break forth.
Spring forth.
Amen.
Spring up, O well.
Amen.
Then our spirit.
Amen.
Flow out, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Flow out in every
person.
Amen. So we're going to come to outline number one this morning. And of course, as with nearly every Summer School of Truth, we start with God's eternal purpose. We start with God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because that's the reason why we are created. That's the reason why we are saved. That's the reason why we are living today for God's eternal purpose. So we need to declare Genesis 1, 26 and 27. If you know these verses, if you've memorized them in the past, stand up with me right now and let's declare Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. These are your memory verses for today. They have been your memory verses in the past. And they will be your memory verses in the future. Ready? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God made in His own image. Made in the image of God, He created him. Man and female, He created them. Very good. We're not so clear on verse 26, right? We've memorized 27. We're not so clear on verse 27. It is an important verse. Male and female, He created them. Anyway, that's not our burden for this message, but we do have a burden for that verse. Okay, so everything begins with God's eternal purpose, which we can see in these verses. The first page of the Bible, chapter 1 of Genesis, we are created in the image of God, and we are given dominion over all these items, over the whole earth, and especially over the creeping things, which is referring to Satan and all of his demons who have rebelled against God, especially against God's enemy. So this is a very, very, very crucial vision. And that's why we sang this hymn, "Oh, may a clear, controlling vision of God's economy direct my heart. Control us. Preserve us and keep us because of this marvelous marvelous purpose. I think most of us know, just want to remind you, not every believer knows that God has an eternal purpose. I did not know that as a young believer until I came into the church life. But this is quite a vision, that we are created in the image of God to do what? To express God. Write that down. We're created in the image of God to express God. This is in God's heart. This is the desire of His heart. He wants to be expressed. He wants to be known in all creation, to all creation. He wants to be manifested. That is in His heart. So according to what is in His heart, His good pleasure, His desire, He decided to do something. He made a strong choice and exercised His will to do something, to accomplish that purpose. And one of the first things is that He created man. Of course, He created the whole universe, but His goal was to create man in His image for this expression. And He gave this man dominion, which deals with the negative side of the creation who rebelled against God. So He is going to accomplish the purpose positively and also wants to deal with His enemy negatively to get rid of that rebellious angel and those who followed him. So this is very profound, very fundamental and foundational. We are here to express God. How much do I express God today? How much do you express God in school? This is your purpose. This is why God made you. It's why He saved you. Not just so that you wouldn't suffer in the lake of fire. You won't. Praise the Lord for that. But He created you so that you could positively express Him. Amen. And that expression is not just in what you say. Write this down. It is in what you do, how you live your life. Your daily living should express God. That's the meaning of the word godliness, that we would have a life of godliness, that in our daily living, when people see the way you live, the way you study, the way you go to school, the way you choose your friends, the way you choose what activities you do, there's a possibility, a very great possibility, that in all these little things that you do and all the decisions that you make, people see God. Wow. They may not openly say it right away. They may not understand that right away. The first thing they may understand, and many of you have experienced this, is they know you're different. They can see that you're different. And that is because you are expressing God. They may not understand it right away, but eventually, the whole universe will know. It's not yet been manifested, right, what we will be, but one day it will be manifested. But today God wants to manifest His life through you. Amen. Now, where's my lesson book? Yeah. This summer we're on this subject, knowing and experiencing life. How many of you do not have your lesson book yet? Raise your hand. Okay. We will have the lesson books on sale today, so you should be able to get this lesson book. This is a tremendous lesson book, Knowing and Experiencing Life. Now, that's also right on the title of your outlines, Knowing and Experiencing Life. Okay, let's come to outline one, and I'll read the title together. God's eternal purpose being accomplished by the way, and I underlined God's eternal purpose, and then the way of life. These are the two main points in this first outline, and that covers the first two messages in your lesson book, and we'll read a couple of paragraphs from there later on. Okay, then how about brothers, Roman numeral 1. God's eternal purpose is to make man in his image so that man can express him and give man dominion to represent him and to deal with his enemy. Here is a very concise definition and a sentence of God's eternal purpose. We're in his image to express him, and we've been given dominion to represent him. This is a very meaningful word. You were created to represent God in dealing with his enemy. I don't think we think about this too much. Maybe we don't speak about it enough, but we talk a lot about expressing the Lord and, you know, God is love. We need to love one another. We need to love man, preach the gospel to them. But actually, we also need to represent God in dealing with his enemy. And you have experienced this. You may not realize it. How many of you have ever had a cousin or a relative or a friend from school or a neighborhood friend that wasn't saved, wasn't a believer, and you shared something with the Lord with him, or you brought him to a gospel meeting or her, or in your home meeting? They got saved. How many of you know someone who's gotten saved, you know, with you or with your family? Gotten saved. Raise your hand really high. See, quite a number. Okay. Now, to get someone saved, you have to deal with the enemy. I don't know if you realize this. The Bible tells us you need to bind the strong man to release the captives. Every unbeliever is imprisoned by sin. They are enslaved by the devil. They don't realize it. They think they're just having fun in the world, enjoying life and enjoying all kinds of things, right? But actually, the reality is they're enslaved. They're captives, prisoners of sin. And when you preach the gospel to them, when you pray for them, Lord, save my friend, deliver him from that, you know, world, deliver him from sin, deliver him. When you pray for them, and then you share something with them, or you bring them to a meeting, when they get saved, what has happened? You have dealt with the enemy. And God can now free them. You represent God before Satan when you pray for people. It's not a small thing. Not a small thing. Even among us, sometimes we get caught up in the world, and maybe, you know, your classmate who loves the Lord last summer school, but, you know, something happened and they got caught up in some, you know, the world. When you pray for him to get freed from that enslavement, from that entanglement in the world, you are dealing with God's enemy. You're binding the strong man. And it's not too much sometimes when we pray this way, Satan, get lost! Get out of here. Free up my friend. Stop distracting him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we need to cast out the devil. We need to represent God. I don't know if you think about this. You have this kind of capacity. You've been given this dominion. We have his image. We have his life to represent him. But we also have dominion, right? We have dominion. Sisters, read A. Image to express God. The Bible uses the example of a son being the expression of the Father. This shows that God's image is a matter of life inwardly. This is a very important point. Image is a matter of life inwardly. Underline that. We're on the matter of life. How do we experience this matter of expressing God? We experience it because we have received God's life inwardly. We have the life of God. You were born of God. And the life of God is in you. And that life wants to be expressed. You have that life inwardly. Now, I'd like to open to 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 together. These verses are on this point. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 is a memory verse later in the week. But not for this lesson. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Okay? If you have it, let's read it together. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us all things which relate to life and godliness through the full knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue, through which He has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. And this is the phrase I want you to focus on. He's granted to us here all things which relate to life and godliness. He has granted to us all things. By His divine power, He has granted to us all things which relate to life and godliness. And life, of course, is what we're on. And the expression of that life is godliness. I want you to look at a little bit of a footnote. I wonder if you could come and help read this portion of the footnote. In footnote 3:1, the context of this book is that Peter was writing, there was apostasy in the church. The saints were being distracted by some things. And I want to have our brother read this portion. It's in the middle of footnote 3:1, if you have your Recovery Version with footnotes, you can read that. Starting with God's salvation and up to philosophies. Go ahead, brother.
God's salvation is to impart Himself in His Trinity into the believers, that He may be their life and life supply.
Wait. We have to support Him. Amen. He's reading the ministry to us. So, you know, every time He pauses, you know, make Him feel like, amen, we're with you, brother.
Amen.
Go.
God's salvation is to impart Himself in His Trinity into the believers.
Amen.
That He may be their life.
Amen.
And life supply.
Amen.
This is God's economy.
Amen.
God's plan.
Amen.
The apostasy distracted the believers from the economy of God by leading them into the human logic of puzzling philosophies.
Wow. Read that last video.
This did not lead them to partake of the tree of life, which gives life, but to participate in the tree of knowledge, which brings in death.
Wow. Very good. Very good. There's a contrast here. I want you to, if you'd like to mark your outline, it's okay. I mean, your footnote, it's good, right? And that is that in God's salvation is to impart Himself. This is His economy, right? To dispense Himself into us, that He might be our life and life supply. This is the positive side. But the enemy is trying to distract the believers from this economy, from this dispensing. How? By leading them into the human logic of puzzling philosophies. This is a very particular phrase. We've been in this burden for a while, actually, in the college training. We talked about this quite a bit, right? We are lights shining out in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. And one of the main distractions of Satan is to get us in our mind, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge in our mind, and then distract us into the human logic. You cannot argue the existence of God by logic. Don't try. It's not in the realm of human logic. But Satan wants to get us in that realm of human logic and philosophies to distract us from enjoying the Lord. Write that down. That's Satan's goal. God's purpose is that we would enjoy Him. We would be filled with Him and thus express Him in our daily life. But Satan's strategy is to distract us by human logic, of puzzling philosophies. And if you've ever been involved in conversations about, you know, did God really create man? This is really, you know, or did man create God? I've heard this, right? Yeah. Oh, did God? God didn't create man. Man created God. It's kind of an excuse for whatever. It's all in this realm of puzzling human philosophies. Well, brothers and sisters, we are here in God's eternal economy. Amen. And that is His plan to fulfill His purpose by what? By dispensing Himself as life. And we receive Him as life daily as our life and our life supply. And by that way, we are living a life in His eternal purpose and economy. Okay, brothers, B. Dominion to represent God. Dominion is also a matter of life inwardly. We need this life. And 1 John 4:4 is listed here, which is a very helpful verse. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. How do we overcome? Actually, we don't overcome. Christ has already overcome. He is the victor, and He's living in your spirit. He's living inside of you. When I came in, we were singing that song, Christ lives in me. He, greater is He that lives in you than he that is in the world. Christ overcame already, and He wants to overcome the enemy in you and through you day by day. How? By life inwardly. We don't overcome the enemy by arguing logically and trying to help people figure out something. No. We overcome the enemy by life. We overcome the enemy by praying. We overcome him because of the blood, because of the word of our testimony, and because we don't love our soul life even unto death. That's Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, if you want to write that down. Anyway, we have received this life. And this life is a person. We'll get to that at the end of the outline. We have received this person. And this person, he's greater than the one in the world. So, little children, we're all little children. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. This is a tremendous point. We have life inwardly to express God. And we have life inwardly to exercise dominion over the enemy. To bind him. You know, the Lord told us to pray this way. He told us to pray for his kingdom to come, right? On the earth as it is in the heaven. And he also mentioned, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in the heaven. And whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. You have the authority to bind the enemy from frustrating your friends, from distracting your brothers and sisters, from, you know, keeping your cousins who are not saved, keeping them in the world. We need to pray for their salvation. Amen. We need to preach the gospel on our campuses and get people transferred out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's to exercise God's dominion. Now, is it sisters one? Let's read one. Sisters, God's intention. Corporate man for his corporate expression. And brothers, too, the goal
of God's salvation is not just to save many scattered individuals,
right,
but to obtain one
corporate man. Altogether three. This corporate man is the church. So these verses in Ephesians 3 are very important, 9 through 11, and verse 10 is mentioned in the point 3 there. These verses are very important. Let's look at that. Ephesians 3. 9 through 11. How about sisters on verse 9, brothers on 10, all together on 11. Amen. Sisters with a strong spirit. Brothers, that now rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church, altogether 11, according to the eternal purpose which he made Christ Jesus our Lord. You can also add from verse 8 to 11, because verse 8 talks about preaching the gospel as the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right? So, the verse 11, you have God's eternal purpose. Verse 10 tells us, what is that? That is that corporately, the church expresses the multifarious wisdom of God to all the principalities and powers, right? And rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. Then how does that happen? Verse 9 talks about the economy of the mystery. That's God's economy. And what is God's economy? It is the dispensing, in verse 8, of the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you have very experiential. We need to enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. As we enjoy them, right? That is God's economy. He's dispensing. He's pouring out his riches. He's distributing the riches which are in himself to us. And then we express him corporately as the church, that the multifarious wisdom of God would be made known, would be manifested to all the rulers and the authorities, right? And in verse 11, this is the eternal purpose of God. This is what is on his heart. So you can see that God's purpose and his economy in these verses. Now, I would like to end this little section with Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, which is not on our outline, but I have some feeling about this verse. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Let's read this together. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his will. Okay, I want you to write these two words down. Chose us and predestinated us. Chose us and predestinated us. Okay, I have a little example. Can I get a few brothers here? Chris, could you stand up? And Andrew, are you? Yeah, Andrew, are you next to him on that side? Yeah. Chris, Andrew, can you brothers come up here? Okay, yeah. Come on up front for a minute. And how about Jesse, can you come up? Jesse, is that you? What's your name? Alex. Come on up, Alex. And Luke, where's Luke? Come on up. Okay, come on up. We'll do this little example here. Okay. How many of you remember when you were in middle school or whatever, and, we're going to play basketball, so you choose teams. How many of you ever chosen teams, you know? Like, so Shepherd, you're the captain, and, Ricky's the captain, so you've got to choose your... You never were the captain?
Never wanted to be.
Why? Because you have to choose, right, bro? So you have to choose, right? You have to choose. Now, if these brothers, you're going to have them on your basketball team, who are you going to choose? Who are you going to choose, right? You're going to choose Alex, because he's a good shot, right? He can play. He's a good... That's good. We always have this, this kind of thing. I never got chosen till last, Oh, we'll choose that, and then, okay, Dennis, you can be on. You know how you feel? Oh, man, terrible. You got to feel, you're with us. So God chose you.
Amen.
Not because you were a better basketball player or you were better this or a better that. He didn't choose us because of anything that we are. He chose us, write this down, because he loved us.
Amen.
It's not according to our ability. Thanks, brothers. It's not according to our physical prowess or height or anything like that, or ability to do anything. He chose us because he loved us. I want to impress you with this. You have been chosen. You have been predestinated before the foundation of the world, Before man was created, you were chosen. Amen. You were predestinated. Amen. And don't ask me why. I don't know why. Because he loved you. That's why. I know that much. But it's not because of anything we are. It's not because of... But you have to... I don't know. I really appreciate this. But Lord, you chose me. Amen. You predestinated me. And it's not to make us proud or anything like that. We have nothing to boast in. Our boast is in the Lord. Actually, he chose us in Christ. So that shows it has nothing really to do with us. But for some reason, you were chosen. And you got, and because you were chosen, and because you were predestinated, you got saved. You were born into, some of you were born into a Christian family. Some of you were born into the church life. And you are here in God's eternal purpose. I don't know how you got here. Some of you, maybe your friend in high school, preached the gospel to you and you're here. Or your relatives came into the church life and you're here. But anyway, you are here. Amen. The reason you're here is because God chose you. Amen. And he predestinated you. That's why you're here. So I hope that we could appreciate this purpose in this light. We were chosen for this. We were marked out for this. You know, and it's not a great example, but you know, to be on this team or whatever, but we're on this team. We're on this God's eternal purpose team. We're on the body of Christ team. Amen. We're on the bride preparing team.
Amen.
We're in this together. This is a corporate expression. Yeah, we're not competing against another team. We're fighting against God's enemy. But we certainly are. The Bible doesn't use the word team. It uses the word army. You were chosen for this army. You were predestinated for this battle. And you may not feel, I don't feel I'm capable. Well, that's okay. Because Christ is capable.
Amen.
The life in you is capable.
Amen.
So we need to treasure this life and grow in this life. Okay. Then Romans 2. Let's read Romans 2 together. God's economy is his way, his plan, his arrangement to fulfill his eternal purpose. God's economy is a matter, underline, a matter of life. Everything is a matter of life in this outline. Dominion is a matter of life. Image expression is a matter of life. Okay, altogether on A. God's economy is to dispense God himself into his chosen believers to be their life, their supply, and their everything. We enjoyed John 10:10b last night. I came that they may have what?
Life.
And? Very good. Abundant life. We need abundant life. Yeah, we have life, but we want abundant life. And that is by God's dispensing. That's the way God carries out his purpose. The way God accomplishes his purpose is through his economy or his plan. Okay, Sisters B. The word economy...
Amen. His household arrangement to dispense himself into man to be man's supply.
Amen. Brother C.
When we receive God's life supply, we will grow in life, and the church as the body of Christ will be built up as the appropriate man for God's expression.
God is dispensing. We are receiving. You might circle that word. We need to receive this life. Daily receive this life, even hourly, moment by moment, open to this life. Receive this life. You know, when we were helping the college students with our morning revival time, something the brothers mentioned one morning helped me a lot, you know. Don't wait until you can get to your morning watch spot, wherever you're used to having that. Open your Bible to open to the Lord. As soon as you open your eyes, open to the Lord. And I've been practicing that. It's very enjoyable. As soon as you open your eyes, just, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for another day. I'm here. I'm not out of bed yet, but I'm here. My eyes are open. and start to enjoy him. I woke up this morning with one of the songs we sang last night, so opened my eyes and just started singing to the Lord. I couldn't wake up my roommate, but quietly, you know, just opening to the Lord. For what? To receive the life supply. And even during brushing my teeth, I'm opening to the Lord. Everything. You just don't wait for another time. We always have this thought, oh, I need, you know. Anyway, right now is when we should open and receive this supply. Okay, now Romans 3, we're going to end with this point here. The life of God is divine and eternal. Divine and eternal. Write that down. And then in B3, you have indestructible. These three things: divine, eternal, and indestructible. Now, in the Greek language, very rich language, there are three words for life. I think most of us know this, right? A1 says zoe, denotes the divine, eternal, uncreated, and indestructible life of God. And psuche denotes the God-created human soulish life. We get the English word psychology from that. Soul is the psuche, right? And bios, which we get the word biology, denotes the God-created physical life of man. So the Greek language is very descriptive. There are three kinds of life here we're talking about. One is our biological life, and today we have a mandatory time before the rec time to be in this room with all the middle schoolers as well, and all the medical team is going to help us, you know, with our bios for these 10 days. Yeah. They'll probably help us with our suke and our spirit as well, but anyway, they want to help us, right? We want to be healthy, we don't want to get sick, so bios is important. But there's more to us than our bios. We have a suke, right? We have a biological heart that pumps blood, and we have a psychological heart that can be damaged, but the doctors can't fix it. You need the Lord to fix your broken heart, if you get that, okay? And then we also have this word, zoe, and that's what we're talking about. That's what this knowing and experiencing zoe is about. It's the uncreated, divine, eternal, and indestructible life of God. Very good. Now, 1 John 5:12 is the first memory verse. So either you can turn to it or go to your memory verses. Did you get your memory verse sheet yet? No. Oh, we got them, right? Okay. You can pick one of those up later. But 1 John, so you can't do that. You got to go to your Bible now. 1 John 5:12. It's a very important verse. First John 5:12. Okay? If you have it, let's read that together. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is a very important verse related to this matter of life. Let's read B in the outline together. Only the life of God is really life. No other life can be counted as life because only the life of God is divine and eternal. And this verse says, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. A lot of people, even many believers, are confused by this verse. Wait a minute. I have life. I'm alive. But I don't have the Son. I'm not a Christian yet. I don't have and received the Son of God. Well, according to the Bible, that physical life and psychological life, the human life that we have, is not the real life. It's not divine, and it's not eternal. And it's certainly not indestructible. The life we have is temporary. Human life is very fleeting, even though we may think 70 years, 80 years is a long time. Well, it may be a long time to you, but to me it's not a very long time. Because I'm at the other end of that spectrum, and you're at this end, so you think you've got a lot of time. It goes by just like that. Very fast. Very fleeting. But we have a life within that is eternal. Amen. We have a life within that is divine. That's the real life. This verse says, he who has the Son, who is life, has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. The other verse there is also very good. John 3:36. He who has, that says, if you have this, if you don't believe in the Son, right? You don't believe this in this. I better read this to you. I'm going to misquote it. John 3:36. You will not see life. Very strong. He who believes in the Son. He who believes into the Son has eternal life. But he who disobeys the Son shall not see life. Very strong. But the wrath of God abides on him. So these are the verses related to only the life of God is really life. And one says only the Zoe life is divine. Being divine means being of God, having the nature of God. Two says this life is eternal, meaning uncreated, without beginning or ending, existing itself and ever, unchangeably existing. This is the eternal life. This life is also indestructible. It went into, through, and out of death, and it resurrected and ascended to the highest place in the universe. There's a paragraph on page 10 of your lesson book, which is very good. In the middle of the second paragraph, the word eternal denotes not only the duration of time, which is everlasting, without end, but also the quality, which is absolutely perfect and complete, without any shortage or defect. Such an expression emphasizes the eternal nature of the divine life, the life of the eternal God. This life is also eternal with respect to its sphere. Therefore, the word eternal denotes three things: time, space, and quality. As to the element of time, this life will last forever. As to space, to sphere, this life is vast, unlimited. As to quality, eternal life is perfect and complete without defect or shortage. It's really, really something. Very good. Okay. Hebrews 7:16, we don't have time. Underline that and read it later. Okay, the last point is this. Life is a person.
Amen.
Life is God Himself. A says, when we receive life, we receive not the life of God. That sounds odd, doesn't it? But we receive God as life. There's a distinction here. God is not giving us something apart from Himself. He's not saying, I don't have anything in my pocket, but you know, he's not, oh, I'm going to have a cough drop. Okay. He's not saying, here, you get, here's some life. He doesn't just give you life like that. No. He gives you Himself as life. He gives you Himself.
Amen.
What could be better than this?
Amen.
You have God living in you.
Amen.
That's unbelievable. That's tremendous. What a miracle. You can have it. Yeah. It's not life, but it, you know. This is the point. This life is a person. When I was your age, I received eternal life. I believed in the Lord Jesus. I got saved. And, you know, I thought, praise the Lord, I'm not going to hell. That's true. That's true. I'll be with the Lord forever. Wonderful. But I just thought it was kind of everlasting life. You know, I mean, I was just going to live with God for eternity in heaven somewhere or whatever. No, this life is a person. You received a person in you. And you know, you have experience of this. After you got saved, I don't know what there was some change in you. It may have been minor. Maybe you don't think it's so, you know, we hear these testimonies, oh, I was a bank robber and then I got saved and you know. Okay, none of us have that experience, okay? But I've heard this kind of testimony. Before I got saved, I had to have a nightlight. I was afraid of the dark. Had to have a nightlight. But after I got saved, I realized, the devil's nothing. Turn off the nightlight, no problem. That's real. That's real. That means you received a person. And before you got saved, you know, maybe, I don't know, before you got saved, when I was, I think I was in first grade or something, we after school, we were walking home, and there was a little drugstore. In those days, drugstores used to have little counters, you know, you could get hot dogs or an ice cream or something, you know, it was like a lunch counter, you know. So my friend said, hey, come on, let's get some ice cream. I said, I don't have any money. He said, it's okay. I thought he was going to pay. Okay. So we went, and we got a, you know, fudgesicle ice cream on a stick at the counter there, and so we sat at the counter and we ate the fudgesicle, and then they give you a little ticket, you know, 5 cents. You take it to the you take it to the counter and pay for it, you know, pay for it on your way out. So we're on the way, we're going to the cashier to pay, and my friend says, here, give me your ticket. I thought, oh, he's going to pay for me. He takes the tickets and puts them in his pocket, and we walk out of the place, and I thought, wait a minute, we just stole ice cream. So we got out, and I said, wait a minute, did you pay? No. He said, no, come on, we can do this. They don't care. So I thought, wow, free ice cream. That's not bad, you know. Then I got saved. After that, oh, we tried, you know, of course I got saved a little later, but, you know, try to steal something. Oh, I couldn't, my conscience just bothered me, really bothered me. And I don't remember what happened exactly, but anyway, something from a drugstore, I stole something, and then right away. So I went back and have to apologize and pay for it, and the man was mad, and called my parents in, and, you know, big deal. Actually, no, it wasn't just my parents in. He called the police, and they got my parents in. But my conscience, I wasn't afraid of the police. I was afraid of the Lord in my conscience. That shows you have life, because you don't have the peace to do these things. There's a change in you. You have life. God himself came in. Okay, we only have time to read D, and then we have to end here. Amen. The Father is the source of life. The Son is the course of life. And the Spirit is the flow of life. Life is the Father in the Son as the Spirit flowing into us to be our life and life supply. Under Roman 4, you have, and B, you have life is God himself, also Christ is life, and also in C, the Spirit is life. It's the Spirit that gives life. So God is in Christ as the Spirit flowing into us. It's the Spirit that gives life. But the Spirit is giving the Father and the Son, and the Spirit is life. The triune God is flowing into us as life. You're getting all that God is, all that God has in this life which is in you. So I hope it mentions here, we need to learn how to experience this life every day. We'll get in more to that in the lessons. You can write down in lesson book page 18, we can't read it now, but there's a very good the last paragraph in Roman numeral 3, life being the Holy Spirit, is very good. You can read that later. Okay. Do we have time to do anything or what? Problems? No? Okay, good. So we'll end here, and the brothers will have some announcements for us. And then we'll take our break.
Can we pray two by two?
Amen.